I'm getting the wait for the high five. Yes, Madam Chair, I think we're good to go.
Excellent. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District meeting for January 6th, 2021. Can we get a roll call, please?
Chair Ray Russum?
Here.
Director Austin?
Here.
Director Lee?
Here.
And because Director Lee wasn't here, I asked Director Austin to go twice in a row to do the Pledge of Allegiance. So can we please see if she can give us that pledge?
Okay, I pledge allegiance to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
Thank you. Under agenda review, is there anyone who would like to change the order of this abbreviated agenda?
No.
All right, then we will proceed as published and move on to public comments. And before we get started with public comment, we did have a procedural issue on the last meeting in which I was not in attendance. So I have asked, just kind of anticipating public questioning about that, I've asked Administrator Gent or Keith Collins to speak about that. So I don't know which one of you would like to go first, but I see Keith, you are unmuted. So I will go ahead and throw it over to you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It appears that at the last meeting on December 16th, the acting chair did not solicit public comment before taking a vote on the consent calendar. And the acting general counsel who was there covering the meeting that night also didn't remind the acting chair to solicit those comments. And so the vote was taken without allowing the public to make those public comments. Subsequent to that evening, we have received a couple public comments that we can add to the minutes. And so the minutes from that meeting that are before you tonight should probably be amended to include those minutes to do the best we can to correct that error.
Thank you for that. So at this time, I'll go ahead and open up public comment and throw it to AGP to handle that.
Yes, Madam Chair, we have Julie Tacker would like to speak. Ms. Tacker, I'm allowing you to talk. You may unmute yourself and speak.
Good evening, Julie Tacker, and I would like to speak to the error in procedure. Specifically, I'd actually like to speak to the items I was unable to speak to. While you may include them in the minutes, I was hoping that your board would ask for some follow-up on these items. The warrant register comments regarding previous administrator Gerhard Huebner's employment at the Michael Nunley and Associates. I think that that needs an explanation, and I want some confirmation that there's no more conflict or some conflict has been waived, something. I feel very uncomfortable about his employment over there. And with regard to the item that we discussed on December 2nd, I would still like to hear from Mr. Gent if he's done the back of the envelope calculations for any savings for Oceano. So those were my comments for public comment for items not on the agenda.
Thank you. And Bob, I'll ask I don't see anybody else there, but maybe I'm missing.
No, I don't, but I would like to make a statement myself. There was a bit of confusion I caused staff and over the notice for this meeting for the Zoom connection, and I wanted to apologize publicly for it. It was a miss oversight on a date that I chose for the meeting and had the staff redo the public notice. And I want to let you know that it was my fault and no one from the agency.
Thank you for that. So hearing no other public comment, I'll go ahead and close that. And I'm gonna ask Mr. Gent to follow up on a couple of things. We did receive that written public comment with regard to the former administrator. And I did ask for follow up on that. So I'm gonna ask for some comment on that. And then also if you could address the USDA calculations that we talked about a month ago.
Yeah, so we did receive the comment regarding Mr. Huebner's employment with MKN, and we will be looking into that a little further with Mr. Collins reviewing the separation agreement that was issued when Mr. Huebner left service, which had some limitations on what type of jobs or what type of interaction he could have with the district. And so we'd want to review that. But that being said, I did reach out to MKN. Mr. Huebner is doing some occasional work in their Ventura office. He has not done any work for the Sand District since he left. And so we do want to understand a little bit more of that. And so that's that will be something that we'll be looking into further. On the USDA, those numbers are forthcoming. We are in the final push of finalizing all of our USDA final approvals right now. So those final costs, and they won't be final, are still trickling in. So to give the back of the napkin is probably looking at February or March, just because we're still actively pushing the final plan approval right now, this week, and interacting with the USDA. And so to do that comparison, there's still several thousand dollars in billing that's going to come in that'll be USDA related expenses. So all that being said, that we will not receive the USDA money until project completion. So there will be no savings to the district, or we won't be experiencing any break in expenses until construction completion, because if you'll recall, the U.S. Department of Agriculture post funds at project completion, and we had to do the interim financing for the $4.5 million. And then when we've satisfied construction, they'll pay off that $4.5 million interim financing is how that works. So right now I want to do that calculation to see if it's worth continuing that discussion. And so I'll be able to provide pretty accurate numbers at the February or March meeting.
Thank you so much for both of those. So I will close public comment at this time. And then if I hadn't already said that, and we'll move on to the consent agenda. This is items 5A, approval of warrants, and 5B, approval of meeting minutes. Does anyone have questions or clarifications to make on either of those two items? Linda, I saw Justin.
I don't have any questions. Okay.
All right, thank you. So then we'll go ahead and open public comment on the consent agenda, items 5A and 5B. Let's see if anyone would like to speak.
Ms. Tacker has raised her hand to speak. Ms. Tacker, the microphone is open for you to unmute.
Thank you again, Julie Tacker. And I wanted to speak to the communication that and the matter that I raised relative to the Jones Mayor warrant, the $11,215.50. And I wanted to just explain that I had used the date of May 1st as the sort of the opening of maybe some work that he had done with regard to the two mayors' potential conflicts of interest. And that is an error. That date is in reference to a different potential conflict that I actually agree that he should look into. I have not seen the opinion from FPPC on the May 1st letter, and I would like the district to provide that if it has been issued. So I just want to clear that up. But I do want to say how disappointed I am that the issue with the two mayors taking campaign donations that campaign contributions that may have put the district in some conflict or presented a conflict that then puts the district at risk. That's your job as an elected official, is to go seek your own advice and act very carefully when you do take donations. We won't know what the FPPC thinks for a little bit longer, I believe. But I think that any charges associated with finding out this opinion really should be borne by the mayors. And I know Ms. Austin has some conflict of interest, FPPC work going on, that she's covering that cost on her own. And that's not something that the district should be picking up. With regard to the minutes, I just wanted to point out that the procedural error, as Mr. Collins characterized it, should be recognized, and that there was no public comment wasn't the case. It was that none was allowed. So those were the two things I wanted to speak to. Thank you very much.
Bob, I'm letting you handle that.
Oh, I'm sorry, Madam Chair. I'm getting Chris Forte here. The phone call ending with 703 is available to speak. You may unmute yourself and give your comments.
Good evening. My name is April. I would like to speak to the warrants. I want to thank whoever's in charge, and the numbers are correct for a change. It was really nice. I do not understand why Jones Mayor's bill is broken out into two totals, two different amounts for one total. I'm wondering if that has to do with the previous comment and work that was done on behalf of the mayors of AG and Grover. And I would really hope that my representative, Board Member Austin, is doing her level best to make sure Oceano's ratepayer funds are not wasted on this endeavor, since she didn't have a conflict and Oceano in itself does not have a conflict. And she still lacks with our money that our GM spends already, that she is paying attention to how the Sand District is spending our money. So I would like to understand better why there's a legal counsel amount and a outside counsel amount for Jones Mayor. And then I'm not really sure, and I will do a public records request to understand why we have to pay CPA firm prices to watch over a person who's paid to be the in-house bookkeeper, and we're paying almost $5,000 for 2 months worth of work. So I'll do a public records request, and at the next meeting I will circle back to that to understand it. But I really would hope that my representative, Linda Austin, pays at least some better attention and manages to some degree the money that's being spent by the Sand District better than she does for the money that's being wasted by the OCSD. Thank you.
Okay, I'll again check with AGP and make sure there's no phone calls or anything that I need to worry about, and see if public comment has concluded. It would appear that it has. So at this time, I'll bring this back around to us. We do have a significant number of questions here, so I'm going to ask a few of them, and most of them apply to Mr. Collins. So the first question, there are several, and I will address my own in just a few moments, but the question is, where does the conflict, my question for you, I know the answer, but where does the conflict exist in terms of the FPPC letter from November? My understanding of that is that it exists in the vote of the acceptance of the bid. So there is no conflict if there isn't a vote. I need you, if you would, to kind of shed some light on whether there is a conflict, whether that conflict existed before the last meeting, and kind of explain the procedure there.
Yes, Madam Chair. So the conflict of interest rules are predicated on the government decision that is at issue. And you're correct to characterize it as the decision to accept the bid that two members of the board did not participate in. So given that two members of the board did not participate in the decision that's at issue, there's no conflict at issue. There's no potential conflict of interest because you didn't participate in the decision. So I think that should answer your first question.
It does. And so my second question is, and it's honestly my question. When we received this letter, I did my own research and I could find no evidence of any FPPC inquiry in May. And the caller mentioned that there was concurrence, that there was some issue that did need to be dealt with. I am unaware of what that is. Do you have any idea of what the caller was talking about?
No. I think she mentioned that May 1st date was a mistake, but we didn't submit any requests for an opinion in May.
Well, what she said was that it was a mistake with regard to this issue and that she agreed that we need to be pursuing some other issue. Do you have any idea of what, have you ever, let me rephrase the question. Have you ever made an FPPC request?
Yes, we did. It was related to the Central Coast Blue Project and whether that posed a potential conflict as the board members wear two different hats and whether or not the board members acting as directors could act on the issue when they're acting on the same issue as mayors and members of the city councils that they represent.
And what was the resolution of that? Or what was the opinion of the FPPC?
That there's no conflict for you to wear both of those hats and act on those issues.
Thank you very much for that clarification. Then there was also a question about the two on the warrants, the question about the two totals, those being separated or bifurcated. Can you address that? Or maybe, I don't know if I should ask.
I think I can. Okay. I think I can. So the way the contract that our firm has with the district is structured, it provides a couple of different billing rates depending on the nature of the legal services that we provide. I believe that the larger amount is just the general legal services that we've been providing, which I think are a little bit higher recently because of all the work we've been doing with the redundancy project. And I think the outside counsel amount is for some work we're doing involving current litigation that the district is involved in. But I could double check that. It may be another special project that our firm is working on.
Thank you for that. I'm going to guess that the public would like to know the answer. So perhaps at our next meeting, you could offer that as a follow-up.
Sure.
And then also perhaps I will ask this question to Mr. Gent. There was a question about a CPA cost for oversight for the bookkeeper. I think I know the answer to that, but I wanted to give you a chance to address that concern.
So a couple things on that note. The CPA costs were, that was more than 2 months worth of billing for the 5,000, but we do supplement. Amy's a bookkeeper. She's not an accountant. She's not educated as an accountant. So she keeps the books. And I think it was completion of the district's 2015-16 audit. It indicated as a structural weakness for the district is we weren't providing that type of support for our bookkeeper. And the suggestion from that audit was that the district should provide that type of support for a bookkeeper. You know, Amy supplements in preparation of our annual audits. She gets together with an accountant, and they work through and prepare all the documentation necessary for Moss Levy to come in and complete our audits. And so that's what the charge is. She was a little bit in the rears on billing us, but that's not 2 months worth of billing. I think it's close to a year's worth of charges on that. So we don't heavily utilize that. I think we budget 20 or 25,000, and I don't think we've ever come close to using that.
Thank you for that. I appreciate that clarification. I do want to address two things that were brought up in writing and making sure that the record is clear. I did provide a response written, so I do want to draw attention to that. With regard to the last meeting, there was an allegation made about either myself and or Director Lee coaching our alternates in how to vote. And I want to be very clear that not only did that not occur, but that the metaphor that I used is in the same way you don't coach somebody to stop at a red light. The actions at the last meeting were prescribed. And so they were obvious. There was no coaching necessary, and it was a procedural vote. So I have asked Mr. Collins to review my interpretation of that. And so if he would like to comment on that, that would be great. But I want to be sure that I am on record in saying that there was absolutely no coaching involved. So I'll throw it over to you in just a moment, Mr. Collins. But secondly, there was a question as to why Jones-Meyer is involved in an FPPC question with regard to myself or Director Lee. So again, I'm going to throw this over to Mr. Collins to allow him to address both of those issues.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that second question? That way I know both. I was looking at my answer to your first while you were asking the second. I apologize.
That's okay. The first one was with regard to what kind of vote was, whether or not coaching may or may not have happened. And the second one is, why are you involved in addressing or asking the question to the FPPC about a conflict of interest?
Right. Yes. So in terms of the first question that you raised, the law defines what it means to participate in a government decision. And it includes providing information with the purpose of affecting the decision. And that's from the California Code of Regulations. It's part of the Political Reform Act, and there's a definition for what it means to participate in a decision. And providing information or attempting to influence a decision is a violation. It does raise the issue of a potential conflict. Providing context without the purpose of affecting how the alternate would vote does not amount to participating in the decision. It's simply a providing of information, as you indicated. You stop at a red light. That's not telling you whether or not to run the red light or to turn right at the light. It's basically just describing the background so that the alternate has enough information to use his or her own judgment in making the decision. So that's no conflict at all. I don't believe that there's any risk to the district in terms of you providing that context to your alternate. In terms of the second issue as to whether or not it's appropriate for the district's council to solicit advice from the FPPC, it's completely appropriate for legal counsel for the district to provide legal advice on conflict issues that arise in your official capacity as directors. And so that's not a cost that needs to be borne by you personally. If Director Austin is doing that, that's fine. The law does not prohibit her from spending her own funds to get those types of opinions. But it's very common, and it's not illegal for the district to do this. It's not a gift of public funds. It's not a conflict of interest. It's providing you legal services in your official capacity.
Thank you. And I would further add that I had a conversation with our city manager with regard to the appropriateness of that and whether or not that cost should be borne by the individual cities. And it was very clear that in matters of especially contract law, where this was talking about a contract and a very specific issue that is technical in nature, it is absolutely appropriate to have our district council help with forming that, whether I write the letter and sign it or Mr. Collins writes it and signs it. The advice given and the help with the technical wording of the question to make sure that we get the correct answer is half the battle with the FPPC, and making sure that those are worded correctly and that we get the appropriate response, whatever that response is. And further, it makes absolutely no sense for either of the cities or OCSD to bear cost for a questions about a contract to which it's not a party. So I hope that brings a little clarity to that issue, and making sure that the public, not only the person posing the question, but the people watching this or the tape of this, understands that we are doing our very best to do things transparently on the up and up, and having legal counsel respond when it is appropriate, just as we are doing now. So with that, I'll bring this back around to the board and ask if there is further discussion. Perhaps Director Lee would like to respond, and then perhaps hazard a motion to move forward.
Yes, thank you, Chair Russell. So I did just want to respond and say thank you to both you and district staff for the clarifications and the conversation. To kind of bring this full circle I did have a conversation with my alternate, Karen Bright, and it basically was exactly what Mr. Collins said. It was with respect to context. and it was here's the agenda, here's the items before you. Do you have any questions as to how we got to this point? And she said, nope, I've been following this. And so I am clear to make my own decisions at the meeting. And that's exactly what she did. So, and then I also appreciate the explanation from Mr. Collins with regards to the FPPC. I think a additional component of that is that it provides historical context for the district in matters going forward, in addition just in more than just our particular circumstances. If this arises again, we will have a letter on file at the district as to what the FPPC decision will have been. So thank you for that opportunity.
Thank you. And real briefly, I'm sorry, before I go to Director Austin or we take a look at a motion, Mr. Collins, any word from the FPPC, even though it's a moot question at this point?
Yes, they anticipate having an answer for us next week.
Oh, okay. So we'll hear about it in February.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. For that. All right. I meant in the public meeting in February.
Yes.
With that, I'd like to make a motion that we approve the warrants and the meeting minutes of December 16th, 2020.
I will second that with a question, perhaps to Mr. Collins with regards to the speaker's suggestion or the public commenter's suggestion that we add the additional public comment that was presented this evening into those minutes.
Right.
I'm fine with adding that. So if you want to just add that into your motion, let's just go ahead and do it.
You want me to add it? The meeting minutes of December 16th and the additional public comment from the previous meeting.
And I will second that.
All right, any discussion?
Yes.
Can we get a roll call, please?
Chair Ray Ressam?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Director Lee?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Sorry, I'm scrolling back to my agenda. This takes us to item 6A. This is the election of chair and vice chair for the 2021 calendar year. Mr. Gent.
Good evening, Jeremy Gent, district administrator. The item before you is for the election of the chair and the vice chair for the 2021 calendar year. It is recommended that your board consider, discuss, and elect a chair and vice chair for the 2021 term. And with that, I'll turn it over to you. There is no formal rotation on the chair or vice chair at the district. And so any one of you could fill those individual roles.
Thank you very much. And I do find it odd that there's no rotation, and I'll comment on that in a few moments, but I just thought I'd kind of point out the obvious that I am the current chair and Mr. Lee is the vice chair, and Director Austin took herself out of what would be a logical rotation.
I'm busy.
But so I would like to yield to Director Austin to see what her vision is on this, and to Director Lee, I will go along with whatever the majority chooses.
I'm sorry, could you repeat what you said? I had a problem with my dogs.
All I was saying was, what do you want, Director Austin?
Well, I think, I know I said it out last time for the chair, and I don't have any of us could be the chair. I wouldn't mind being the chair, but if you wanted to be the chair, continue, or if Director Lee, that would be fine too. So I'm pretty much open to whatever you guys think, whatever, you know, we want to agree on.
And I'm in the same position as Director Austin in the fact that I'm open to whatever serves the betterment of the district. I guess from that perspective, I was chair last year. Karen, you're chair this year. If Linda is willing to be chair next year, I'd make that motion.
I would concur. It definitely, it's an obvious rotation. Director Austin, you okay with that?
Sure, I'm fine with it.
Okay, how about vice chair? So it doesn't make sense for me to rotate into vice chair, but then that would make Director Lee vice chair twice. So how do you want to handle that, Director Lee?
I'm okay being vice chair. So neither of you have missed meetings without appropriate notice and so forth. So being vice chair is a benefit at the moment, and the fact that I've got two great partners to be chair, one now past chair, one about to be chair, and I'll just continue being vice chair if that works for everybody.
That works for me.
Sounds great. Then I would like to make a motion, and I also, before I do, I wanted to discuss with the board that we don't have a prescribed rotation in our bylaws, and while we have a great set of directors right now and even alternates, and there's not a whole lot of controversy at the Sanitation District right now, there certainly has been in the past. And I just wanna make sure that we don't have controversy going on in the future, perhaps when none of us are here or when the world changes a little bit. Certainly today tells us it can. So I talked to Mr. Gent earlier yesterday about we are going to be updating our bylaws in the next couple of months. So I just wanted to plant that seed to see if the directors would prefer to have that be at the will of the current group, or if we want to have something that is a little more prescribed. Just to prevent conflict in the future, even though no conflict exists now. So there's nothing to be done on that right now, but as we look at bylaws later, perhaps I just wanted to plant that seed if anybody wanted to consider whether or not we should do that. So with that, I'd like to make a motion that our next chair be Director Austin and our next vice chair be Director Lee.
I will second that.
Any discussion? Okay, can we get a roll call, please?
Director Linda Austin?
Yes.
Director Jeff Lee?
Yes.
Director Karen Ray Russum?
Yes.
Motion carries.
All right, that takes us, oh no, shoot.
Now do you
darn it. God bless America.
You wanna fit, okay.
Yes, so, I caught myself before Keith had to jump in here. So we haven't actually closed it, even though we did make a motion, so we can certainly change that if necessary. Let's go ahead and open up public comment and see if there's anyone who would like to talk on item 6A.
I see no hands raised.
Yes, Madam Chair, I don't see any hands raised.
Okay, thank you so much. So we will open and close public comment and let that decision stand as passed. So that will take us to item 6B. This is the District Administrator and Plant Operations Report.
And actually, Madam Chair, before we go to that item, perhaps the discussion we had with regards to possible direction to staff to consider the rotational items in the bylaw changes, perhaps is now an appropriate time to just kind of get concurrence from all of us that is something that we'd like to see included in those updates? Or do we need to just have that be part of the bylaw discussion? I mean, if we provide direction to staff to consider it, then it comes to us at the first reading of the bylaw changes rather than having it be brought up again at that point.
I'm okay with that.
And perhaps we can have to determine what a potential rotation might look like. So Mr. Gent, you okay with that?
Yeah, and you know, just on that note, since I've got the floor at the moment, the other thing that alleviates, it is a challenge to get a motion and a second on a three-member board because we honor the not talking to each other. And so there's no way before tonight that you can know who wants to do the position, and that formalizing that, unlike a five-member board, you can have that discussion to see who's going to make a motion or who's willing to accept the position, and we can't communicate that. So establishing the rotation, I'm fully behind that because it feels like a vacuum when we come into tonight, and you just have to open the floor and start the discussion. So yes, and then bylaws are reviewed at the meeting in February, the first meeting in February, as prescribed in the bylaws. And so with the direction tonight, I would come back with that revision implemented at the first draft.
Thank you. And in fairness, I know that I closed public comment, but a hand shot up I can see now. So let's go ahead and just open that and hear that public comment at this time.
Ms. Tacker, I'm unmuting your microphone. You'll be able to unmute yourself and speak.
Thank you very much. And I wasn't going to speak to the actual election of the chair and vice chair, but this idea of taking it to the bylaws, I really don't think that this should direction should be given without it going on an agenda first, because I have some concerns about it. And it's not agendized, so I'm not going to tell you about those concerns right now. But Mr. Gent is going to craft some bylaw that I think should fall apart based on the thoughts and concerns I have about it right now. So I think procedurally, put it on an agenda, let us participate, and then subsequently it becomes a draft item, I mean a bylaw. So that's my thought.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to hear speak? Okay, and then I'll close public comment for item 6A. I do believe that concern is going to be held with a second, with double reading of that. So would anyone else like to comment on that or change our approach?
No.
I'm good with the approach, because that was my intent, is to provide direction for Jeremy to bring forward a suggestion for us to discuss. And it would be at that first item, in which case then we would have public comment on that, and Ms. Tacker can express her concerns at that point, which then allows us to have a more thoughtful discussion at that time with something for us to react to and craft, rather than crafting and then reacting. So that was my...
Sorry.
Nope, that was just my intent.
I know that it is not unusual for Ms. Tacker and Mr. Gent to speak in between meetings. So perhaps those concerns could be raised prior to the writing of the staff report, so that any complications that we might want to weigh that we're not hearing right now could be really well thought out and presented to us to let us think before we do make a decision, rather than having to react to public comment in real time. It's always good to be able to give some as much thought to our decision making as possible. So I would like to encourage Ms. Tacker to give those concerns, since they already are identified and exist, to Mr. Gent, so that they can be incorporated into the staff report. So item 6B then, let us move on to the district administrator and plant operations report.
Yes, good evening, Jeremy Gent, district administrator. Just scrolling through my staff report here, one second. So I've got some updates on the redundancy project. We received approval for the notice of award from the U.S. Department of Agriculture on 12/23. We issued the notice of award to Feedlots on 12/29. Staff and legal counsel are currently finalizing the contract review. Legal counsel is to provide a USDA certification letter that the contract docs are all in order. And so that is forthcoming. We expect to be able to provide that at the end of this week. We anticipate issuing a notice to proceed on the 14th. We did have about a week of lag in there. We had some issues with the certificates of insurance from the contractor. They provided them to us. We had to reject them. They were supposed to add the city of Pismo as an additional insured. They had missed that. And so we had to reject that and send it back. And so that did delay the final acceptance of the contract. And so we're finalizing that now. The pre-construction meeting here is the date range is shown, but we have finalized that. It's actually on the 22nd. To get everybody there. So Friday the 22nd is our pre-construction meeting to begin construction. Staff, myself, Michael Jones and Amy Simpson attended a document management training system that is being implemented by the construction management team for the duration of the project. So we sat through that training yesterday and today. We received a quality assurance and construction management manual, which was a submittal required by our construction management team. And so we're reviewing that right now. MKN has completed a review and passed it over to me to do a review. So on the groundbreaking ceremony, I wanted to elaborate a little bit. With the current state of the pandemic and the governor's orders, it is not only can we not, it wouldn't be appropriate to try to implement some sort of, as much as deserved as the project is to celebrate, there's no meaningful way to have a groundbreaking. We are toying around to maybe do something virtually, but it doesn't look like it's gonna be satisfying to everybody. And so what we anticipate doing is at some milestone when we've put most of this behind us, whether it's the completion of one of the big concrete structures, we will have some sort of christening or celebration of the progress and of the project at that point. As part of the M&S contract, they're required to prepare quarterly updates for the board on the project. And so we've scheduled that first update in March. And so it'll obviously be light. It'll be a lot of talk about startup, contractor moving in, lay down sites and stuff like that. But we'll have quarterly reports to your board on what the progress is for the redundancy project. Central Coast Blue, the district received notice that Jeff Edwards has appealed the construction of the Central Coast Blue test well site. It's a California Coastal Commission agenda item 17. It'll be held next week on January 13th. It's appeal number A-3-SLO-20-0072. This is all in my administrator's report if somebody wants to try to find it. And I wanted to let the board know the Coastal Commission staff report. I reviewed the staff report and they have indicated that there's no substantial issue with the project, and their recommendation is that the project should, and that's just the recommendation. Obviously, the hearing has to take place, and the commission will make the decision. Miscellaneous items, just kind of reviewing some of the annual stuff. We are, in July, we'll be open with our contract with SEIU for the operators. And so we will be commencing negotiations with SEIU here in the next quarter. A couple of tentative items. We already talked about review of the bylaws next month. That's established by bylaws, and that's why we're doing it in February. And also the quarterly redundancy meeting in March. And with that, that completes my administrator's report.
All right. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the board. Michael Jones, plant superintendent. I will be presenting the plant operations report for reporting period December 1st through December 30th. During this reporting period, the district continues to meet its MPDS permit requirements. All plant data is well within permit limitations. As you can see on the charts, some operation and maintenance tasks that staff have completed are as follows. We've updated the emergency contact list for the district, installed new pressure gauge on influent pump number 2, checked and marked underground service alerts, installed new water heater for our sodium bisulfite containment tank. We assembled new shelving for our 5-gallon water jugs. We located plant water lines in preparation to dig and locate a leak. We troubleshot our leaking sump pump near secondary clarifier and installed new discharge line. We thoroughly cleaned our plant shop, installed new micro switches on our secondary clarifier. We inspected a ventilation fan in our heating and mixing building. We rebuilt an old chlorine pump for chemical totes. Petroleum Solids Control performed monthly maintenance on our rental centrifuge. We inspected our Amiad reclaimed water filtration system due to failure. Some work orders that staff completed. We inspected our primary digester vacuum pressure relief valves. Rinsed down all clarifier surfaces, completed plant wet weather preparation, cleaned our fixed film reactor orifices, and collected an oil sample from the distributor drive for analysis. We inspected and greased our mechanical bar screens and washer compactor. We deragged both primary sludge pumps, calibrated both backup disinfection systems. We replaced heating and air conditioning unit filter. We test ran our emergency generator and emergency bypass pump, inspected and performed maintenance on all clarifier drives and motors, performed maintenance on our 6-inch whacker pump, inspected water champ flash mixer, and performed maintenance on all plant carts. Some training. There was no training this reporting period. We did have a couple callouts that occurred on December 23rd and December 24th. Both callouts were in regards to the reclaimed water low pressure. Operation staff responded both times and inspected the reclaimed water system. We reset the system fault and ran cleaning cycles. The system pressure it was still reading high, so filter system was bypassed until an inspection was performed. We did perform that inspection, and upon our inspection, we found that we might be having an issue with our pressure transducer that might need to be replaced. We haven't had a call out since, but we're looking to repair that and get that system back fully operational. One thing I'm kind of kicking myself for is I didn't include the completion of our digester cleaning project. I will bring that at the next scheduled meeting. I have, what's that, for February 3rd. So I'll include some pictures of that. And then also we're working on getting the digester. We have received a preliminary report regarding the inspection, and I'll bring that to the board hopefully at the following meeting as well. And with that, that concludes my report, and I'm able to answer any questions if there are any.
Thank you. My space bar is only partially responding. Thank you so much. I don't have any questions. Director Austin, Director Lee, do you have any questions?
No, I don't have any questions. Just thank you very much for the thorough report, as always.
And let's go to the public and see if anyone has any questions.
Ms. Tacker has raised her hand, and we're allowing her to speak.
Good evening again, Julie Tacker. And I thought Ms. Austin was the chair now, so that surprised me that Ms. Ray still has it. Anyway, the additional insured for PISMO, can I get a better explanation of what that's about? I assume it has to do with the connection to the outfall. But along those same lines, I'm curious when the district's going to engage in a discussion about phase two of the Central Coast Blue project. I think we need to have a long, healthy talk about that. I appreciate that Mr. Gent has plugged the appeal that Mr. Edwards has filed. The test well project is quite interesting, and I think you should all be aware of it. And then I just had sort of a silly idea for the ribbon cutting or groundbreaking of the redundancy project. You know those cardboard cutouts that you could buy to go to a sporting event in your stead? I actually did that for a friend, and I think that could be kind of cute. So thank you very much and good night.
Wait, before you go anywhere, first of all, that is cute. You were popping in and out on your first question. Could you please repeat that?
Oh, the very first question was, I thought Linda was the chair now.
No, not that one. The one about, you said something about PISMO.
Yeah, the additional insured. Jeremy talked about PISMO Beach having to be additionally insured for the redundancy project contractor.
Okay, thank you. So, Mr. Gent, do you want to respond to both of those, the first question and the one about the Central Coast Blue?
Yeah, so on the additional insured, it is the outfall as Ms. Tacker assumed. So the project obviously is in proximity to the city of Pismo's outfall line as it comes through the plant. And so when you have a project, any type of interface you might have, you want to specifically name all the agencies that might be impacted by the contractor. So if the contractor messes up, the city of Pismo's facility is on site. And so the city of Pismo is named as an additional insured on the redundancy project and certificates of insurance. And then the other one was, where are we on discussions for phase two of Central Coast Blue? So right now, the district's in a kind of a holding pattern as the development of phase one takes place and some of those decisions get ironed out. Phase two would be conveyance of district's effluent to the Central Coast Blue facility for recycling at a point where a need was identified for that additional water. At this point, the modeling for Central Coast Blue has suggested that all of the present needs would be covered by PISMO's effluent, and so there's not any immediate need for the district's additional water. So with that, right now we have no financial commitment or really no engagement in phase one, with except being named in the memorandum of agreement that will continue to stay abreast of the project. We'll be involved in phase two if and when it is necessary, and that we'll maintain the ocean outfall per the current agreements for the benefit of the project to do brine disposal to the ocean. So those are the district's commitments kind of on phase one, but phase two is really still undetermined because there's has yet to been an identified need for that water.
And I would add to that, that it would probably be best to watch that coming forth through the cities at this point, rather than the sanitation district, to get a heads up on what's happening, because it'll come there first. And on the third question about who is chair, I'd like to direct Ms. Tacker to page one of the staff report. Section one of district bylaws state 1.5, the term of office for the chair and vice chair of the board shall commence on February 1st of the year immediately following their election. So with that, that takes us to, and again, scrolling to the agenda, board member communications. My only communication would be, it has been my pleasure to serve as chair, and that at the next meeting, Director Austin will ascend to the chairmanship. And then I wanna see if any of the other directors have board member communications before adjournment.
None other than I look forward to serving as the chair. Thank you very much.
And just a quick comment to say Happy New Year to folks, and say thank you for Chair Rae Russum for her leadership this year, and looking forward to working with next year's chair, Ms. Austin. So, and a great staff. So, and I realize that if I do that, then I've still got a holiday, a hat in my background that I need to move.
I see that.
It's almost on your head, Jeff.
I know. I keep moving around to see if I can get it off my head.
There you go.
All right, everyone. This is a great group to work with. Thank you so much. That takes us to item eight, adjournment. We'll see you in a month.
All right. Thank you very much. Good night, everyone. Thank you.